part two. You're listening to another episode of
Total Talk Nonsense
with John and Scott. All right, AKC's Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
And this is episode 64, part two of a three-part episode.
That's right, John.
That's right.
And I was kind of comatose in the first part because I emailed all of my crap, you know, my documentation.
As you normally do.
As I normally do. And it didn't show up. And then I was trying to call the lovely wife to have her resend the email. And she must not have the phone on, so we sent her an email. And in the middle of part one, she responded and said, here, let me send you that stuff. So I talked her through it. She sent me my documentation, John.
Right.
So now I'm jazzed. I'm ready to go.
And she sent it to Urgent for Knucklehead.
Urgent for Knucklehead.
Is that you?
That would be me.
Or me. Because you had already sent it, and I... As you always do, every week, you send it, we print it, and you go over it. And this week, for some reason, I didn't get it.
Didn't get it? I'm thinking to myself, did I send it to his work address? Did I send it to somebody else?
We looked everywhere.
We looked everywhere. We couldn't find it.
Could not find it.
So I didn't have any documentation for part one, John. None. That was all off the top of my head.
It's brutal, isn't it? That's why I just go without documentation. That way I know I got to ad lib everything. You can tell, though, can't you?
No, not at all.
No? Well, yeah, so it was in my spam filter, my spam folder.
And you know that because when the email was sent from my wife,
right?
It appeared and it disappeared.
Like that.
Like that.
Like lightning. I saw it, and then it was gone.
If you blinked, you wouldn't have even seen it.
What the fuck happened?
And I would have been calling my wife back, saying, hey!
Right. Setting her straight, right?
No way.
And then you would have got the big bonk.
Bonk.
See, your wife listens to the podcast. Mine doesn't, so I'm safe. I can say whatever. Whatever I want.
Whatever.
And nothing happens.
All right.
Of course, then, like, somebody else, like special ed, reports it to his wife. And then his wife messes it all up and then reports it to my wife.
Like the telephone game.
Yeah. And then it's even worse. Then I got to do the backstroke. You know what I'm saying?
I hear that.
So, what do you mean? What do you mean by that?
I hear that. You got to do the backstroke.
Oh.
Like the back pedal.
Right.
The backstroke.
So I just keep it on the up and up right after the show. I download everything to the wife, what I said, and everything's cool.
That's groovy.
Right?
It's out of sight, man. All right, then.
If you buy that bullshit.
So what do you want to get into first, celebrity or science news?
Ah, whatever, man.
Science or celebrity? Which one? Which one's it going to be?
Well, I heard the science alarm go off.
All right, we'll get into science first, and I have a good science celebrity segue story to get us into celebrity news, John.
Is it like Sally sells seashells by the seashore?
It's like that. It is exactly
That's
like
amazing
that.
Amazing.
Let me get
that.
My paperwork together. Our first science story tonight, this was a study done, John. A poll finds that evangelicals are addicted to porn. Did you know that?
Really?
If there could be one place protected from the cancerous infection of pornography and sexual misconducts, one would assume that the Christian church would be that sanctuary.
Of course.
But recent research is revealing that no one is immune against the vice grip clutches of sexual addictive behaviors. The people who struggle with the repeated pursuit of sexual gratification include church members, deacon staff, and yes, John, even clergy. And to the surprise of many, a large number of women in the church have become victim to this widespread problem.
Wow.
Recently, the world's most visited Christian website, ChristianNet.com, conducted a survey asking site visitors 11 questions about their personal sexual conduct. Amazingly, there were only 1,000 responses to the poll, and they partnered with somebody else, and blah, blah, blah.
Wow.
Is struggling with many of the same temptations that the secular society... Sexiety.
You got it there, buddy. Sexiety. You got it. You hit it right on the head, Scott.
There you have it. And well, why wouldn't you, if you have these problems, you're more likely to be Christian, right? Because you need...
You want to wash it off.
You want to... Yeah, you need something to cleanse that type of behavior, yeah. I guess. And, whether it's drugs,
and the evangelicals,
sex.
They're all the red states.
Are they?
Yeah. It's all the reds. It's all the divorcing, finger-banging old something rotten crotch.
That don't want queers to get married. Yeah, like that'll solve their problems.
And they're closet queers themselves.
If we can just get the homosexuals from not marrying each other, then we'd be fine, John.
What they don't realize is that, well, genetically, if they did allow the homosexuals to marry each other, and they left them alone, they could not procreate.
Could not procreate.
So what you're doing is forcing them into heterosexual relationships, and they're creating more gays.
Homosexuals.
Right.
So, but that's based on the assumption that homosexuality is genetic.
Genetic, yeah.
Which you and I both are proponents of, John, that it is genetic. But I would take a step back and say that I think your theory is flawed. Because even if the homosexuals identified their homosexuality early on,
yeah,
and never procreated, never produced children, I think there would still be a 10% homosexual population in the world.
Maybe.
I think it's genetic, but I don't think it's inherited genetic. I think it's a mutation.
Survival of the species.
Because sexuality is such a fine, it's such a delicate, I don't even know the word, balance, so to speak.
Yeah.
To be what's considered healthy or normal sexually.
Yeah.
Right.
But I don't know. I mean, I don't care. It's no big, it's nothing off of my my nose.
You know? I hope not.
I don't care, you know.
Whatever, who cares?
Whatever
we
they
want to
do, let them, you know, they want to be happy.
Right. And even if, so what you're saying happy? Is let them get married because then there won't be any more in the future. And
well, I'm thinking if one of these evangelicals had half a fucking brain, they would figure it out that way and say, hey, let them be. They're not going to exist because the survival of the fittest.
They can't get past Leviticus,
yeah.
John. Is
that
it?
I know.
Leviticus, where yeah, God
that's right.
says
God
hates
abomination.
Fags, and it's an abomination.
It's an abomination.
Right. There's where their thought process ends,
and
right
God,
there.
God never said that. It was some other clown that wrote it and said, God told me that.
Wait a minute. You just said God never said that, so you know what God said and what didn't
I know.
God say?
I know.
So then you believe in God.
No, I don't. I'm thinking that if there ever was a God,
he wouldn't say that.
He wouldn't say that because he would be so good. He would be so pure. He would be all about pure happiness. There would be a heaven. There would not be a hell. He would be all about getting people organized to being completely happy all the time.
Yeah, but that's assuming that it's a good God. What if it's a total a-hole God?
That's true, right?
And he's just round to fuck us over.
I'm just saying that in my perception of what a God would be, if there was a God, why would he be both?
Why?
Why would he be so good and then brutally evil?
That's right, John.
Why would he select certain humans to be, okay, that guy's okay, but this guy... Kill him and all his kids. And use stones while you're at it. Bury them up to their arms and then hit them with rocks.
Well, they didn't have guns back then.
Oh.
So it is written. So it shall be, John.
There's quicker ways, isn't there, than just rocks?
Next science story, John.
Hold on.
Oh, you got some more?
Since we're talking about religion, sort of, aren't we?
Sure. It was a study.
I was reading this article that's going to be in Newsweek, Belief Watch. It's called Foxholes. There are no atheists in foxholes, the old saw goes. The line attributed to a World War II chaplain has since been uttered countless times by grunts, chaplains, and news anchors.
Katie Couric just said it not too long ago.
That's right. But an increasingly vocal group of activists and soldiers, atheist soldiers, disagrees. It's a denial of our contributions, says Master Sergeant Kathleen Johnson, who founded the Military Association of Atheists and Freethinkers, who will be deployed to Iraq this fall. A lot of people manage to serve without having to call on a higher power.
Right. Well,
and you're right. In the past several years, atheists have organized letter-writing campaigns against Katie Couric, Tom Brokaw, and Bob Schieffer, who issued a public apology, and other news anchors for repeating the "no atheists in foxholes" line on TV.
Well, that this thinking and "no atheists in foxholes," it's the same thinking that the GOP and the Bush regime is using to try to stay in office.
Yeah.
And that is fear.
Yeah.
They can't believe that somebody would not believe in God in a foxhole. That there has to be so much fear for them in that situation and their own mortality that they must, at that point, even if they are atheists, they must at that point then say, "Oh, please, God, pray, God. I want to go to heaven, God." And it's fear. It's all about fear, and it's a bunch of crap, and it's insulting. I'm insulted by it.
Insulted. Well, since then, the Department of Defense considers atheism a creed like other faiths. New recruits can choose atheist, agnostic, or not, no religious preference for their dog tag identifications. You know what they don't have, though, Scott?
What don't they have, John?
Scientologists.
They don't have Scientologists.
They do not.
Well, let's phone Tom Cruise to get that rectified, John.
I think so. We'll get him on the phone next week.
Rectified.
Rectified.
That's right.
I just wanted to throw that in since we were talking about that stuff.
It's outrageous.
Outrageous.
Next science story, John. Sharing a bed with another person makes men dull. Latest research published in the New Science Journal says, when men spend the night in the same bed with someone else, their sleep patterns are disturbed, even if they do not have sex. This leads to poorer performance in intelligence tests the next day.
Oh, wow.
UK's Daily Mail newspaper said, quoting an Australian scientist's research, women, too, get disturbed sleep if they share a bed, but their mental ability is not affected. I think that's very important. Women also are disturbed, but their mental ability is not affected. Professor Gerhard Klausch of the University of Vienna,
Vienna.
And his team used, they only used 8 young, unmarried, childless couples for the study. Come on. The couples were asked to spend 10 nights sleeping apart and 10 together while Klausch monitored their rest patterns at night through wrist monitors and sleep diaries. The next day, the couple were given mental ability tests. Even without sex, everyone had more disturbed sleep when sharing a bed than alone, but the effects of this on the brain only affected men. Only men, John.
Wow.
And our last science story.
By the way,
yes?
The backing tracks I'm playing are Spies Who Surf.
I love Spies Who Surf.
We play one of their tunes.
Only one?
Yeah. We play Stakeout, the one that
Stakeout.
Rick keeps calling Xenophobia.
Xenophobia.
Yeah.
I don't play it right. I'm almost there.
You do. You got it put down.
I'm 98%
there. Just put your own licks in there, man. That's all you got to do.
My own licks.
Put your own licks.
Last science story before we get to celebrity news. Oh, and the next story.
I just want to say, though.
Yes.
But if they find out, we didn't get permission.
Yeah.
So we might have to cease and desist and then remove all podcasts with their songs on it.
Okay.
I just want to say that.
We'll just mark that in the podcast log.
Okay.
That we may have to remove 64 Part 2.
We'll log it.
A drug made to enhance memory appears to trigger a natural mechanism in the brain that fully reverses age-related memory loss.
No way.
Even after the drug itself has left the body. This is a significant discovery, John. I don't have to tell you that.
Show up on a piss test?
Results indicate that exciting possibility that ampicines could be used to treat learning and memory loss associated with normal aging. Or just being John.
That's funny.
Oh, no, I got one more science story, and it's kind of disturbing. I'm disturbed by this one.
You are?
Yes. Bed bug infestations on rise across U.S. Have you heard this?
Oh, yeah. I've heard about it all the time, especially in New York.
In New York. Like, if you go to a hotel in New York and you come home, you bring these things home, and then you're infested.
Over.
Oh, it's horrible. Horrible,
horrible.
John. After waking up one night in sheets teeming with tiny bugs, Josh Benton couldn't sleep for months and kept a flashlight and a can of Raid in his bed. We were afraid to even tell people about it at first. Benton said of the bed bugs in his home, it feels like maybe some way of our living is encouraging this, that you're living in a bad neighborhood and have a dirty apartment. Absent from the U.S. for so long that some thought they were a myth, bed bugs are back, John.
Yeah.
Entomologists and pest control professionals are reporting a dramatic increase in infestations throughout the country, and no one knows exactly why. It's no secret that bugs are making a comeback. Before World War II, bed bug infestations were common in the U.S., but they were virtually eradicated.
I looked right up at the screen. I thought it was a skip on the bugs.
Through improvements in hygiene, and a widespread use of DDT, bed bugs are tiny, brownish, flattened insects that feed exclusively on the blood of animals and humans. Their bites may cause itchy red welts or swelling. So we got that to look forward to. Isn't that great, John?
Bugs.
Bed bug. All right, now here's the segue story, John. Here's the segue between science and celebrity. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
I don't know if you've heard this. David Copperfield says he's found the fountain of youth.
Oh.
Have you heard that?
God damn it.
The man who made the Statue of Liberty appear and vanish may soon claim to do the same for unsightly bags and wrinkles.
Wait, he made it appear and then vanish?
Or? He made it appear because it was already there for hundreds of years and then vanish.
Wow.
Master illusionist David Copperfield says he has found the Fountain of Youth in the southern Bahamas amid a cluster of four tiny islands he recently bought for $50 million.
Oh, man.
Doesn't that make you sick that David Copperfield has $50 million dollars lying around?
Yeah.
One of the islands in the Exuma chain, Musha K, is a private resort that rents for up to $300,000 a week, and the other islands serve as buffers to keep prying eyes away from celebrity guests on the white sandy beaches. Copperfield is coy about his reasons for the Fountain of Youth claim, but the man best known for entertaining with grand deception insists his archipelago also contains the legendary waters that bestow perpetual youth. Seriously, John.
I'm sorry.
I've discovered the true feminine. The phenomenon, he told Reuters in a telephone interview. You can take the dead leaves, they come in contact with the water, and they become full of life again. Bugs or insects that are near death come contact with the water, they'll fly away, John. It is amazing. Very, very exciting. Copperfield, who turns 50 next month, said he had hired biologists and geologists to examine its potential effect on humans. But he's not inviting visitors to swim.
He's a magician.
Or drink from the water just yet.
He's a magician,
he's
man.
He's an illusionist, John.
There's no such thing.
He's an illusionist.
Okay, Doug Henning. It's an illusion. You remember him?
No.
It's an illusion. He'd come on Johnny Carson and do his magic, and he'd go, it's an illusion. He looked just like Gallagher. But instead of being bald on the top, he had the full head of hair and the mustache.
Full head of hair.
Yeah. He used to have a TV show back in the late 70s. And everything was an illusion. I mean, I do some magic.
You do?
Yeah, I do.
Did you make the Statue of Liberty disappear?
No, I can make like a quarter disappear. That's about it. In my ass. But, yeah, I do some magic for the kids. I have these thumbs that glow. You know, and they found me out because they went looking through my shit and found my glowing thumbs. So when they go to bed at night, I'd go in there and I'd do the glowing thumb trick. Like I'd pull it out of my mouth or my ass or my nose and ear. I'd throw it to them. They'd catch it and they'd have to throw the light back and I'd catch it into my thumb. It's actually, the thumb glows, but it looks like I'm holding a light.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's out of sight.
Some bullshit I bought in Vegas. But anyways, you know, I can make a quarter disappear and all that stuff. But it's all about deception. It's about getting somebody to look in the wrong place or the right place while you're, you know,
sleight
you trick
of hand,
them.
I think they call
it, sleight
John.
Of hand, sure. Sleight of hand, some card tricks. They're all tricks.
It's a trick.
It's a trick. And it's really cool to see somebody be totally baffled by it. Like, I do this one trick where I have them pick a card.
And any card.
Any card. Any card you want. And they pick the card. I say, study it.
Study the card.
Study it. Write on it. Do whatever you got to do. And then I have them place it back into the deck. And then I start flipping the cards over one at a time onto the table. Just randomly throwing them everywhere. Poop, 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 poop. And I'll bet them. I'll be holding a card on the deck and I'll say, I'll bet you, what do you want to bet? $100, whatever, that the next card I turn over will be your card. And they go, because they've seen the card already land face up in the pile.
Nice.
And they'll be like, you're on, dude. And they'll bet me, and then I'll reach into the pile and flip, turn over their face-up card back to face down.
Whoa. So how do you do it? What's the secret?
I'm not telling.
Why not?
All right, here's the secret. I'm easy,
you
aren't I?
You want to play the spoiler
I'm
warning?
No,
if you don't know, want to know the secret.
I got it out of a book. I got it out of a book, man. So anyway, what you do is... Again, it's all deception. So as you fan the cards out, they pick a card. And then you take the deck and you shuffle it up. And then you say, there's two ways to do it. One, actually, there's one way to do it. I'm thinking of another trick. You just start fanning through the deck. Like, you're fanning it going, you know.
Right.
Like that. And you say, tell me when to stop. And they go, stop. So you tell them to put the card in that middle part of the deck. They stick it on top. And as you're holding the top part, you look at the card that's going to be on top when you replace the other half of the deck. So let's say it's like the Ace of Spades, and they got the King of Hearts was their card. You
right.
don't know what it is.
Right.
But you know that the card before it is the Ace of Spades.
Nice.
So when you replace the top half.
I get it, man.
You start flipping them.
That's sweet.
After the Ace of Spades, you know that next card
the
was theirs.
The next card is theirs.
And you just keep going a couple of more cards. Because now you already know. King of Hearts.
Right.
And you go, how much you want to bet? Next card.
Next card. Next
no
one
doubt.
I flip over is
right.
your card.
Right.
I got to try that.
And then you reach in the pile and flip the one over that's theirs. Oh, dude. Oh, I'm not fucking paying you, man. No way. And then you get somebody to wail on them and take their money.
Wail on them. I'm going to wail on you, man.
I'm gonna wail on you, you fag. D-course, man. D-concourse. Isn't that what it's called? D-wing. Bus
D-wing.
Concourse. 330. You're dead. Remember that when you'd fight?
I remember that.
And you'd get your ass kicked? Next time you're dead! You know, they kicked your ass, but next time they're dead.
Well, I never got my ass kicked.
You're
going to
make them whatever. That's because when they see your knuckles dragging, they're like, no way.
That's
this
right.
guy's got the reach. I ain't fucking with him. And that thing when you say, somebody say bleed.
Right.
That even scares me.
All right.
You know?
It
Not
should.
A lot scares me, but that... Somebody say bleed.
That
I'm
is
like,
pretty scary.
Whoa.
Man. That's pretty scary.
I was very impressed by that.
Especially coming from a guy like me,
to
John.
To this day, I have nightmares about that night. Somebody say bleed. And it's unbelievable.
Well, I heard that line in a gay porn, so I thought it was pretty good. So.
Bend over, somebody
All
say
right.
bleed. Did
Moving
he fire
with,
six shots or only five?
Celebrity news, John.
Celebrity news.
And we bash the W all the time, but we still live in the greatest country ever.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. We
and
would not be able to do this podcast.
That's right. And here's a story that why supports that claim.
Why do you think Carr is coming over here, man?
Because get out of Thailand.
Greatest fucking country ever.
Right.
He could bang some chicks over there and go, Yeah, I don't think I want to be in a Bangkok prison. So I'm just going to make up this story that I killed JonBenet.
Right. And even though I wasn't there.
Yeah, no, extradite me and I'll be cool. Because I'd rather get life in prison in Colorado than get ass banged the rest of my life. Well, me might get ass banged Colorado prison. Might be better though. He'd probably get sliced up and rolled in salt.
Yeah, something fishy's going on there.
Fucked up.
He didn't do it. Come on.
I don't think he did either.
All right, then.
I'm sorry.
So anyway, we live in a great country, America, John, because in Berlin, do you know what they're doing in Berlin? Prosecutors are to monitor Madonna's crucifixion act in
what?
Berlin. Prosecutors plan to keep an eye on Madonna's weekend concert in Dusseldorf to see if the pop diva repeats the mock crucifixion scene that has drawn fire from religious leaders.
Oh,
Johannes
fuck.
Mölken, a spokesman for the prosecutors in Dusseldorf, said Tuesday that the repeat of the scene during Sunday's concert could be construed as insulting religious beliefs. So I guess there's laws on the books in Germany that you can't insult religious beliefs. Madonna, who is known for her theatrical action-packed shows, wears a crown of fake thorns while performing on a mirrored cross. The stunt, which has been included from the onset of her World Confessions tour, has been criticized as an act of hostility.
Yeah, it's like a
toward the Roman Catholic Church.
It's like a big disco cross.
So what?
It spins around, you know, like one of those disco balls. It's the disco cross.
Yeah, no, I don't care. Who cares? Do you care? I don't care.
Who cares?
Representatives for the singer, who will be 48 on Wednesday, John? Oh, that was last Wednesday. Madonna, happy birthday, 48, has said the scene is not disrespectful towards the church. Mölken said authorities would rely on media reports. Listen to this. They would rely on media reports rather than sending observers to the concert.
Ugh.
And that the show might be covered by laws protecting artistic freedom. So they got to sort all that out in Berlin.
Here's how stupid that is. First of all, the whole thing about religion is you meet your maker yourself. So if she is taking the Lord's name in vain and she's doing this thing and she's making fun of Jesus and all this stuff, what do they care? She's going to fry in hell forever.
Fry.
So what do they care?
Well, how do they know? Maybe Jesus likes it. Maybe the baby Jesus likes it. Or maybe the adolescent Jesus likes it. He enjoys the performance.
Right, on your side of it. But I'm saying on the...
Why can't God have a sense of humor? Why can't God think, hey, that's funny. I like that. You know, that's funny.
God is a he.
Yeah.
Why can't he? And what did you say once before? Does God have a penis?
I did say that.
What does he need it for?
Right.
Because there isn't a Mrs. God.
There isn't.
You know, as far as we know.
So is God some sort of hybrid, male, female?
But why would God be a man?
I don't know. Why not? Because in the Bible, it says so, John.
It does?
Yeah, it says Adam was created in God's image.
Mm,
and Eve was an afterthought.
I thought Jesus was created in God's image.
No. Adam was created in God's image.
Go
Come on,
there.
Get your Bible story straight.
I got it all fucked up. You know, well, they never mention a heaven or a hell in the Bible.
They don't?
No.
Well, there you go.
There's no hell. There's no devil. There's no Beelzebub.
Beelzebub.
Yeah. There's none of that
In related celebrity news, John, Madonna is abandoning her movie career. I didn't even know she had one.
But apparently
she's abandoning it.
No.
And get this. Here's the reason why. She is convinced the media is hell-bent on ensuring her film projects are flops. Yeah, it's the media that's doing that, John. It's the media.
Yeah, it's all them. It's always the media. The media is fucking everything. Well, they do sort of fuck shit up.
But they can't ruin a movie. How can the media ruin a movie?
Right. But what I'm saying is, like, the other day I saw this whole thing with this guy, John Mark Carr, whatever his name is, who supposedly killed JonBenet Ramsey.
Back up now, because we're worldwide, John.
I know.
JonBenet Ramsey was some 6 or 8 year old beauty pageant contestant in Denver, Colorado, who they found her dead in the basement, right?
On Christmas Day.
On Christmas Day. And all evidence,
10 years,
all
10 years.
Circumstantial evidence points to the parents that something was going on there.
Yeah.
That something they knew about it. And maybe it was the brother who killed her and the parents are trying to cover up for the brother and protect the brother.
They
maybe
don't
it's
know.
Who knows?
The prosecution just totally botched the whole thing.
So for 10 years.
Right.
This has been going on.
Right. And then this guy shows up out of the blue in Bangkok and admits that he killed her. So, you know, right away they're going to extradite the guy back to the U.S. for trial. And then he could come back and say, oh, yeah, I just made that shit up. And the worst case out of that is he's going to jail for, you know, fabricating the story. But what I was cracking up about the media is it says, a newspaper said, solved.
Yeah,
that was the headline.
Joke.
Solved.
I saw an article where a psychic gave them a sketch. She drew a sketch, and it looks like this guy. You know, if you really cross your eyes, it looks like the guy. Oh, so the psychic
you
is right.
Squint your eyes really hard.
And the guy, I mean, he's delusional. He got wrapped up in this and other cases, and only because he's obviously a pedophile. I mean,
oh,
there's
yeah.
no doubt about
no
that.
No doubt.
But his wife, his ex-wife, even said he wasn't even in Colorado at the time.
Yeah.
Plus, the facts that he gave are incorrect. There's some things that are correct because he studied the case. Others are incorrect. And some are saying the guy's like a genius because he's getting himself out of this. Like you said, he's getting himself out of that situation, coming
right.
over to the United States. And because some of his stuff is false or incorrect, they're not going to be able to prosecute.
Right.
Or he's going to get his ex-wife to come in and say, well, he was with me in Arkansas
yeah.
when it happened in Colorado. So
that's what I'm saying.
Be him.
He's probably in trouble for something he did over there because he was a teacher for a little while, and there's all that prostitution going on, and somebody probably fingered him and said, oh. okay, well, not literally, well, maybe, but said, yeah, this dude, we gotta do something about this guy. We're going to take him down, or somebody gave him a death threat or something. And he thought, okay, the only way I can get out of here on a free plane fare and be protected at the same time is to publicly admit that I killed this girl from 10 years ago.
And that's something that you and I have to remember anytime we travel outside the United States. I mean, if we go to Amsterdam and we're collared for something we didn't even do.
Well, you remember the Snowman and the Falcon, right? Where they're beating Sean Penn with fucking phone books.
I can't remember that.
That's great.
I remember seeing that movie, but it was so long ago.
That movie is excellent.
It was with Timothy Hutton, right?
Yeah.
But we have to remember like these unsolved crimes when we travel overseas, because who knows what's going to happen,
right?
Or what predicament we'll be in. What did Curly from the Three Stooges always say? A victim of circumstance,
right?
You know,
I'm
and then
a victim of circumstance.
All we have to do is say, "Oh yeah, I confess, I committed this crime in the United States, so we can get safe passage." And hey, how about this? Free airfare back. You know
right.
what I'm saying, John?
In a private jet.
Let's say we lose
first
our
class.
Tickets or something.
First class, yeah.
I think it's the way to go.
Yeah.
So we need to study up on unsolved cases before we leave the country.
I was with Elvis when he died. I killed him. I was squeezing him really hard around the neck. His neck's very big, but I had to use a belt and a screwdriver, and I killed him. Oh, well, let's extradite him. We found him. We found the guy that did it. Or I did Jimmy Hoffa. Right.
Right. I know where Jimmy Hoffa's buried.
I know where he's buried.
I was there, even though I wasn't born yet.
Yeah. How many places has he been buried so far?
I don't know. Who knows?
Giant Stadium. And then recently it was a fucking barn somewhere here in the U.S. I don't know. It's fucked up.
How are we doing on time?
We got about 6 minutes.
All right, I can get through my celebrity news then, John. I got some Tom Cruise news.
Fire away.
Suri makes first public outing.
Oh.
Tom and Katie Holmes' baby daughter, Suri, has made her first outing after reportedly attending a party thrown by Will Smith.
Was it a real baby
and
or
his wife, Jada Pinkett Smith? Well, there's a great quote at the end of this story. The four-month-old has been at the center of media speculation over her appearance because no photographers have captured a photograph of Suri and have been released since her birth on April 18th. But a partygoer assures British newspaper The Sun Mission Impossible 3 star Cruise, and Thank You for Smoking star Holmes have simply been protective of their child. And here's what the party goer said. Suri is a beautiful baby with no deformities that I could see. She has a gorgeous dark curly hair and looks like Tom. Isn't that a great, isn't that something great to say about a baby? No deformities that I could see.
That I could see, yeah. But don't you always say five fingers, five toes, or fine jam?
10 fingers, 10 toes. Ten the APGAR. You're going over the APGAR score, John. Yeah, APGAR.
Is that what that's called?
Yeah, that stands for the, yeah, you'd have to look that up on the web.
No. All right.
Tom
Fuck
Cruise
my
is also
ass. What else?
In the news because Holmes and Cruise aid car accident victims. Did you hear
that?
The scene that unfolded Saturday night along LA's 101 freeway as the PR battered parents of the conspiracy surrounding Suri supposedly came to the aid of two shaken accident victims. Their rep tells People magazine. Cruise and Holmes were heading home to Beverly Hills from the airport after taking in the exhibition soccer game featuring friend of Tom David, friend of Tom David Beckham, who just got axed from the UK team in Salt Lake City when they stopped to help the couple identified as one John Henningsen and his wife. Cruise, whose medical knowledge apparently extends beyond just postpartum depression and the proper use of a sonogram machine, purportedly asserted with the glassy-eyed bride-to-be's assistance that the Henningsens were not seriously injured, John. What? And they remained with them until the emergency personnel arrived. Cynical types out there, like you and me, will wonder whether someone in Cruz's camp recently stumbled across the manual once used so successfully by his former rep, Pat Kinsley, during his pre-prosthetizing PR heyday, when tales of his heroic real-life rescues were as common as Kate's caffeine and Barney's runs, whatever that means.
Did you say heroic?
Heroic. Now listen to this. And so he helps the people on the freeway. Not only that, but other reports include how he leapt into action to help a female mugging victim. He helped a female hit-and-run victim, and he helped a family whose yacht was on fire and rapidly sinking. Cruz also enjoyed plenty of positive press after he finished a seven-year-old boy out of a crush of fans at the London premiere of Mission Impossible.
Come on,
it was scary, man. I could see the color draining from the kid's face, he said at the time. So this guy's saved, 10 people already?
You're naughty.
I haven't saved anybody. Right. I witnessed somebody being saved once, but I haven't saved anybody. Have you saved anybody? Are we just lazy asses, John?
Dude, you told me the funniest story one time when you were driving out to Harvard to look at a house, and you saw this guy drive off the road.
Oh, right,
and he started hitting the ditches and going over.
Yeah.
And you stopped to help the guy.
Well, it was the realtor stopped. I didn't stop.
Oh, you were the passenger.
Right.
Okay.
So the guy in front of us fell asleep and he went off into the ditch. And then the very next driveway acted like a ramp.
Out, boom.
So he went. It was like watching Dukes of Hazzard or something. The car went up and it did like a 360 sideways and then crashed. And the realtor I was with stopped, and we assured the guy that he'd be all right, and that
help is on the way.
Help is on the way, and help did show up. We left.
The way you told the story was so goddamn funny. I mean, I hope the guy was okay. It was probably horrible. But could you imagine waking up?
You wake up when you're
airborne.
Airborne, and you're upside down airborne.
That's got to make you shit your pants, right? Oh, my God. I'm sure he was okay, because the way you described him, his head was down by the gas pedal. And his feet were up.
But we told him not to move, but he was able to sit right up.
Yeah, so he was okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's all the time we got.
No, I got one last story, man. Okay. It's a quick one. I'll try to get through it very quickly. Dick goes berserk at Shatner roast.
No.
American comedian Andy Dick purportedly went berserk backstage at Comedy Central roast of William Shatner on Sunday, licking screen siren Farrah Fawcett and biting a journalist.
No.
New York Post reporter Mandoline Stadimitter Miller claims she watched Dick lick Fawcett, Carrie Fisher, and comedian Patton Oswalt before turning his attentions to her. He allegedly groped her, tried to kiss her, proclaiming his love for her, and then bit her hand, telling her, "Baby, please, put in something nice. They're so mean. I'm not weird. Maybe I'm a little weird. They make me out to be a monster. I'm not a monster. I just want to have fun. Baby, please." She also accuses him of urinating in front of her and offering her cocaine.
Andy Dick is really one fucked up dude, man, isn't he?
He is.
I want to hang out with him, though. I having him on the show would be awesome.
Totally.
We got to really get some celebs, but I don't want them coming to my house.
All right.
So, you know, the studio is for sale.
It is, yeah, the whole building.
Yeah, the whole building.
That we have
for
our
sale.
Studio, because we're our band, John.
Yes.
And where we practice, the building is up for sale, so we may come under new management.
You may be paying me rent.
Oh, John may be buying the studio.
No, actually not me, but Marty might buy it.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's been wanting to buy it for years, and he keeps bugging me to jump in on that investment. And I'm not sure that's an investment, if you know what I mean.
Right.
Because a lot of crackheads like to move into their office rooms, aren't they?
Yeah.
It's a room about 400 square feet with a bathroom, each one of them. And from what we can tell, there's somebody was living next to us, and then somebody possibly in the one next to him was living in that one. And I heard that the guy who's living next to us has been in rehab, and what Rick noticed is his car, his station wagon, was
gone. Yeah.
It's gone. And the people on the one on the other side of us, you remember?
I remember.
The late night rendezvous with the chick and the younger guy.
I don't remember that.
Oh, yeah. Rick spied that right away.
Oh, I think I heard you guys talking about that.
They were in the car, and then they were waiting for us to leave, and they were going to do a little action.
We don't know that.
Well, I don't know. Maybe it was the mom.
Maybe
it
was like a marriage counselor. That was his office.
No, it wasn't. It was like a medical bill-paying company.
Well, I think it could be a success. Like, if Marty were to buy the place and he focused it on bands.
That's exactly what he wants to do.
In studios, I think that maybe you'd have something there. But the thing is that you and I talked about, there's not a lot of bands that have that kind of cash that can pay rent on a monthly basis.
The thing that would have to offset that cost would have to be the studio.
Right.
Which, if the guys down the way are smart enough, they'd move into the other. There's another one that has two rooms that a wall was knocked down. The original units we were in, they knocked a wall down, and now it's the two rooms are one giant room, and that would make a great studio because it's pretty big. It's about 800 to 1,000 square feet.
Nice.
Which is perfect, and it has a couple of separate rooms. You can hook up, you can put the guitar amps in there and the drums in another room and stuff like
that. Well, that's what Marty needs to do then is take that room for himself, set up a recording studio, and then advertise and solicit bands to rent the other things. Yeah. And then when they're ready, they come down to his studio and they record.
Yeah, no doubt. It's definitely a possibility. It's plausible.
Plausible.
The only problem is that the sound bleeding from room to room while practicing.
Well, that's why you'd have to hire you to come in and soundproof all the rooms.
There's only one way to surely do it, and that's actually to just pour sand in between the walls.
Ah, there you have
it. That's it. That's what I do. All right, that's all the time we have for
64
part 2,
John. Episode 64 part 2.
That's right. We'll be back with
in the can.
Part 3, the heavy metal episode. Stay tuned. That was part 2. Now stay tuned for
Part three.
Just one last click away.
At Total Talk Nonsense with Sean and Scott.